You're listening to the world-famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
All right, guys, here we are, episode number 32 of the world famous Chick Whisperer show. I've got a very different show for you today. It's a topic that we probably should have covered ages ago, and it's how to select the right woman. And my guest is a guy whose name you've probably heard before. His name's David Shade, and he's well known for being a sex teacher. But lately, he has turned his attention, at least part-time, to talking about how to select the right woman. So I want to introduce him to you, David Shade. Welcome to the Chick Whisperer Show, my good friend.
Hi, Scott. Thank you very much for having me on. It's an honor.
Yeah, man. Well, it's an honor to have you here, too. I mean, you've been at this, it says here, for 17 years, known as America's renegade sex expert. And, you know, it says here that you've had the courage to go outside the boundaries of conventional wisdom to find the things that really work and work very wonderfully and to expose the dark, edgy truth about female sexuality. So, man, you've been at this for 17 years, teaching people how to have better sex, huh?
Exactly. 17 years ago, well, I was married once, happily married. We had two beautiful sons, beautiful home in the suburbs. We both had good jobs. Things were going really well. She and I had good sex every night. It was kind of vanilla, but it was good. And she was hot. You know, things were good. I was a happy man. But after 8 years of marriage, she cheated on me with a bad boy and then left and left me alone with the boys to raise. And I wondered, what did I do wrong? I had treated her like a queen. What could have possibly gone wrong? Well, so I read a number of divorce recovery books, started interested in psychology and relationships, started reading more. And I finally eventually realized that the only mistake I had made is I had chosen the wrong woman. I had chosen a woman with a low self-esteem. Even though she had the American dream, she had a perfect life, she did not believe that she deserved it. She did not have a level of self-esteem that allowed that to be congruent with her and what she believed that she deserved. So she sabotaged it. So actually, the first product I actually started working on 17 years ago was Select Women Wisely. Understanding female psychology, understanding the concept of self-esteem, what makes for a successful relationship, why do women cheat in their marriage, what men can do to make the marriage successful and ongoing. And I realized that it all starts by selecting wisely. If you select the wrong one, there's nothing that's going to work. And then on the side, I was dating single women, and I thought, well, yeah, I've already done the married with children thing. I'm just going to enjoy dating and enjoy a topic that I've always found fascinating, and that was human sexuality. So while dating single women, I thought, well, I'm gonna read up. I read every book in the bookstores on human sexuality, about how to be a better lover, that kind of thing. And, you know, some of the stuff sort of worked, but I wasn't getting really powerful results. So I just started trying stuff. And it was amazing the kind of things that happened just by trying stuff. And I decided, all right, there's no limit. I will go out there and see just how far I can push this. And what I found was amazing. And that's how it all began, Scott.
Well, it sounds like you've had quite a journey. Man, I think speaking for probably thousands of guys, literally, who are listening to this show, I can totally relate with the idea of selecting the wrong woman. And it's not that the women we select are necessarily bad people. Maybe they're just not ready for a relationship. And like you said, which I thought was just very well put, if a woman doesn't have self-esteem, then it's almost as if the better you are to her, the better of a husband you are, the more of a great life that you bestow on her, even the better of a dad you are to your children, the more she feels like, you know, this is too good to be true. something bad has got to happen. And it's this self-sabotage that people, you know, men and women alike, will sabotage their lives if they feel like they don't have the self-esteem or they don't feel like they have the self-worth to actually deserve what other people deserve in life.
You touched on a very good point. It's like the better you treat a low self-esteem woman, the worse it works. And that is so true. Like you mentioned, I was the ideal father. I was very involved in my two sons' lives. I raised them to be men, and they are both in the military right now, and they are both currently deployed in Afghanistan, and they are men in every sense of the term, and I'm very proud of them. I raised them to be men, and they love their daddy. I was very close to them. I was the ideal father and the ideal husband and provider. And like you said, it's like the better you treat them, the worse the result. And that is so true for low self-esteem women. What they will do is they will go out and they will find a man who will treat them poorly, i.e. a bad boy, because that's what they believe that they deserve.
Isn't that just bass-ackwards? I mean, here you have women who want to fail. I mean, it's like fear of success, I think, is one of those psychobabble buzzwords that they use. But it is so true. And yet, what we'll do is we'll start reading from the PUA community about, hey, you know, women love a bad boy and you need to not be Mr. Nice Guy. And of course, around here, and I'm sure you talk about the same thing because I've gone through some of your program, David, is that there's an alternative. It's not even like a middle ground between being a nice guy and a bad boy. It's being a great man. But if a woman is damaged in terms of her not feeling like she is a great woman herself, that she's not going to feel like she deserves that great man, so she isn't going to trust it. So it's almost as if the bad boy, even though it looks like he ends up with women, often ends up with the damaged goods out there. Not to be so crass about it, but that is kind of true, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Let me touch on something you mentioned. You said that the pickup community is always telling us that women want the bad boy. It's true. Women want bad boys. It's absolutely true. But only in a certain context. Let me explain that. All men probably experience the situation where they're the nice guy, or shall we say the good guy, all right? But the woman that they're interested in is crying on our shoulder about the bad boy that treats her like shit. But she's sleeping with the bad boy, and she won't sleep with us, the good guy. It makes no sense, but it is absolutely true that women love bad boys, and every woman, even the high self-esteem ones, will go through a bad boy phase. The thing is, the high self-esteem women will eventually figure out, he is a self-absorbed, inconsiderate jerk that cheats on me. There's no way I will ever get involved with a bad boy again, but she will always crave it. She will always be looking for a good guy who's going to treat her with respect, who's going to be a considerate person, but in the bedroom can be a bad boy. In the bedroom can do all the things that the bad boy does. In a relationship can elicit all those kind of emotions that a bad boy can elicit, but without all the downside of the bad boy. The problem with low self-esteem women is, like we talked before, they believe they deserve to be treated poorly. They are congruent with drama, and bad boys are perfect for that. Bad boys are full of drama, and it's exciting sex. For the low self-esteem women, it's ideal. So you're absolutely right that the bad boys end up with damaged goods eventually.
Yeah, you know, you hit the nail on the head there, David. It's like the whole idea of a bad boy isn't necessarily about being an evil guy. It's about partaking in those things that have a little bit of an edge to them, being kind of a guy who's a bit of a renegade, like you would call yourself, renegade sex expert, a guy who's out there on his Harley, maybe wearing the leather jacket, doing some kind of edgy guy stuff, but not necessarily beating on her and cheating on her. You know, guys who race motorcycles, guys who are policemen, guys who were firemen, guys who were soldiers in service to their country, like your sons are, David, which we appreciate, by the way.
Thank you.
Those guys classify to women as bad guys because they're doing things that women stereotypically almost picture guys doing. So I think that's a point very well taken. And we, based on what we're taught, the whole difference between the nice guy and the bad boy I think to just throw it out on the table, David, I think it's a misplaced argument. I think it's all about how to be the kind of masculine man in terms of how women view masculinity as opposed to the machismo that, you know, we display for each other. I want to ask you a question because I think it's on the tip of everybody's tongue right now. How does a guy go about choosing the right woman? I mean, how do you not make the mistake? I mean, what are some warning signs? What are some good signs? How does a guy do that?
Most guys, through their experience, have a very long laundry list of the things they do not want in a woman. Also, the things that they do want in a woman have more to do with what the two of them would do together instead of actual qualities about her. All right, so there's two problems in that. Number one, when you think about all the things you don't want, when you concentrate on that, that's what you're going to end up getting. Also, if you don't know what you want, you probably won't find it. Now, guys have a long laundry list of the things that they want to do with a woman. They want a woman who has a high sex drive. They want a woman who can get funky. They want a woman who readily gives out BJs, on and on and on. All the typical things that men want. Well, that is not going to help you find a woman of quality. In order for the relationship to ultimately be successful in the long term, it is critically important that you select based on her qualities, who she is as a person. Now, nobody ever taught us how to do this. I asked my father, you know, why is your marriage so successful? Why are you and mom so happy? He said, find a woman like your mother. Well, that's not a lot of help.
And that'll really turn you on, right?
Years later, I understood why their marriage was successful, and I explained it to them, and they very much agreed with that. Now, schools don't teach us how to select a partner wisely. In fact, psychologists don't teach us how to select a partner wisely. Psychologists are interested in fixing people, but I am the person who is here to say who to avoid and who to look for. And you absolutely must look for the qualities, just like we talked about before. Self-esteem is critically important. A low self-esteem woman, it is impossible to have a successful relationship with her. Even look at the low self-esteem women and the bad boys. They all always have drama-filled relationships that do eventually end, or they go back and forth. They're far from successful. In order to have a long-term successful relationship, you, number one, absolutely must select a woman of high self-esteem. Now, whoever told us to do that, we probably all heard of the concept of self-esteem, but we didn't know that it was critically important. And in my program, Select Women Wisely, I discuss at great length why all of this is very true, why it must be this way. In order to find a woman who will be successful in a relationship long-term, you absolutely must look for qualities. She must have the raw material in order for the relationship to be successful. And the most important one is a healthy self-esteem.
Now, there's a couple things in there I want to go ahead and comment on. And one of them is you were talking about how most guys take a look at a woman and say, okay, here's what I want from a woman. I want her to be this sexual vixen in the bedroom. And I also would say a lot of guys are like, well, I want her to be hot. I want her to be someone I can show off to my friends. And a lot of guys do think about it at that level. And my question to those guys is, why enter into a long-term relationship? Why not just have a steady diet of women in your life who can meet that need for you? Because you can meet both of those needs outside of a committed relationship. That's my first question. That whole attitude to me just smacks of desperation in a strange sort of way, because here's a guy who's just looking to get one great woman in terms of how she looks or how she is in the bedroom. Any woman who's great in the bedroom or looks good into his life. And you know what? Meh, he'll be all right. He'll be happy. He'll be done. And I just don't think that that's putting enough due diligence into this process. So I thought that was an excellent point, well taken. The other point that you made was that if a woman has low self-esteem, then that relationship is not going to work. And I think another place where we as guys tend to think, you know, hey, I'm a guy. My job is to fix stuff. I can get anything done. It's kind of another little bit of arrogance on our part is to think, okay, I've got this woman in my life and I'm going to change her. Right now, she doesn't have good self-esteem. Right now, she's got some things going on that kind of are red flags, but I'm a man and darn it, I can fix this. And a lot of times we hear about women kind of going after the guys who are fixer-uppers. And I think that plays a little bit into the bad boy part too, but I don't think that we as men are immune at all to that, David. And I think if we go and say, hey, look, she really is very beautiful and we have a lot of fun together. And even though she's a raging alcoholic or has low self-esteem or anything like that, this is something we'll get over. I'll take care of it. And the point being, and I wrote a newsletter about this not too long ago, you can't flip a switch in someone else's brain and someone else's persona. You can't make them be someone they're either not willing to be or not ready to be.
Very true. Let me touch upon a number of things that you brought up there. All right, a lot of guys would say, hey, I'm not interested in a long-term relationship. Like, oh, a lot of guys in their early 20s. Well, that's fine. We all go through that phase. I remember my early 20s. I didn't want to have anything to do with marriage. But, hey, I was a sexual creature. And we're all going to go through that phase. And that's fine. But I would warn you about one thing. Be very careful who you tread with. If you find yourself sleeping with a woman who has low self-esteem, remember, some of our mistakes we will pay for a very, very long time. Do not get her pregnant. Do not marry her. Do not try to fix her because you will not be able to. And absolutely do not fall in love with her. Because some of our mistakes we pay for a very, very long time.
This is the voice of experience, gentlemen.
let me tell you, and I have a number of friends who are still paying the price. Now, it is true that men want a woman who is hot, who is sexual. Of course you would want that. We're sexual creatures. Interestingly, women are highly sexual creatures, much more so than men. And that's good. Absolutely. Look for that. But again, like I said, don't choose a woman based on what you and her are going to do together. Of course, you would want to be attracted to her. If you're not, there will not be a relationship. Of course, she has to be a sexual woman. You want to enjoy sexuality together. Now, let's talk about women going after fixer-uppers. It's amazing how many women do that. And you will find that those are the low self-esteem women. They will go after a guy that they think that they can fix. And that happens all the time. And those women are constantly frustrated because it's never going to happen. They're never going to fix him. In fact, the romance novels are based on that whole concept. The idea in the romance novel is that the woman teaches the beast how to love. The book starts out where he's a total bad boy. In fact, a lot of cases he rapes her, but she turns it around and he becomes attracted to her courage, and then she trains him how to love without taking away any of his masculinity. This is a dream of women, and romance books account for 50% of all book sales, but it is also a fantasy. A woman cannot fix a man, and likewise, a man cannot fix a woman.
And even if the woman is successful at quote-unquote taming the beast, she loses respect for him because she controlled him. It's a fascinating dynamic.
Yeah, it really is. And you touched on a very, very important word, and that word is respect. In a relationship, the man absolutely must command respect. If there is not respect, she will not be responsive to him. In order for her to be responsive to him, she must act on what he says. In order to act on what he says, she must take what he says seriously. In order to take what he says seriously to her, she must have respect for him. Pure and simple. It all goes back to respect. I have met a lot of divorced women, and in every case, she lost respect for her husband. And you can look at a number of relationships that are no longer successful, or there's not that much sex anymore, or she's not responsive to him. It's because she lost respect for him.
You know, guys, you're listening to this show and you're hearing David say once again what almost every co-host comes on here and says. If you can't get a woman to accept your leadership, to respect you, and to treat you like a man, then she's going to have to pick up all that herself. And women do not want to pick up the masculine part of the relationship. They want you to free them up to be feminine. And listen, again, the woman who's nagging the guy all the time, that's because she's perceiving him as not picking up the slack and being masculine, not doing what it takes to make her feel safe and secure in that relationship. And guys, that is a great way to get respect lost in a relationship. You want a willing woman. You don't want a compliant woman. You want a woman who wants to be in that relationship with you. You want a woman who respects your masculine leadership, because what it does is it makes her feel safe, gentlemen. And that's really the bottom line. And here you have David saying the same thing. Why do we all say the same thing? Is it because we're all selling the same product? It's because we know it works. This is what it's all about, guys. You're not going to trick a woman into staying with you long term. That's a matter of character. That's a matter of you being a real man today, waking up tomorrow and being a real man. Sure, you can mix it up. You can throw some adventure in the mix. You don't have to be predictable in terms of the activities you and she do together, but you darn skippy better be dependable in terms of who you are at your core. Otherwise, this woman will lose respect for you. David, I want to ask you about something that piqued my interest. One of the suggested questions you sent me, and I love the fact that you sent me some questions to ask you, just jumped off the page and whacked me upside the head. What is a daddy's girl, and why is the daddy's girl so important? I'm kind of dreading the answer because I have a daughter, but go ahead, man, riff away.
Well, your daughter is very lucky, because I know you, Scott. You are a man in every sense of the term. She's a very lucky young lady because she's a daddy's girl. And as a result, she will grow up to believe in herself, rely on herself, and make good decisions in men. Well, we won't project that far out yet. So let me talk on this, the daddy's girl. This is a fabulous topic. Now, 17 years ago, after my wife left me, I went out to the nightclubs with a buddy from work. And between talking to women, he and I were talking, he said to me, "You know, David, I heard that women who had a close relationship with their father are better in bed." And I thought, what the hell does that have to do with anything? That's ridiculous. But the thought never went away. It's like it was congruent with my subconscious, because it was true in all of the experiences that I had before I was married. My college sweetheart was a daddy's girl. Wonderful, very high self-esteem woman, an engineer, highly sexual. She was a daddy's girl. And there were women that I dated who were emotional drama queens. Well, they had fathers either drunk or absent or workaholics or were derogatory to her. Now, my mother and my sister are both ultra high self-esteem. Yeah, it's off the charts high self-esteem. And they were both daddy's girls. Yeah, my grandfather did a wonderful job raising my mother. He was very close to all of his children. And my father did a fabulous job of raising my sister. She's big time daddy's girl and ultra high self-esteem. So, after my divorce, I saw this pattern happening over and over again with the women that I was dating. That the women who I had a very enjoyable relationship with, they were highly sexual, they were highly orgasmic, were the women who, interestingly, had a close relationship with their father when they were growing up. In fact, they proudly wore the label of daddy's girl. And they love their daddy, and they love being a daddy's girl. And the women who were emotional drama queens, or there was strife and conflict in the relationship, and there was problems giving them orgasms, those were women who either had a drunk father, or an absent father, or a jerk of a father, or he was derogatory to her. And it happened every single time. And then I look back at my wife's upbringing, and she had a derogatory father. She was the third of three girls, and he blamed her for not being a boy. And he was constantly condescending to her. Well, that's why she's an emotional basket case. She does not rely on herself, cannot count on herself, and she turned out to be an emotional drama queen who did not believe that she deserved to be treated well. But the women who did have a close relationship with their father, they relied on themselves, they could count on themselves, and they were amazing. I was able to become emotionally close to them. I was able to give them wild screaming orgasms. So it worked so incredibly well that it is such a very good test to simply go with the women who had a close relationship with their father.
Yeah, so many things to talk about there. First of all, my dad is an outstanding man, and my sister has turned out to have a rock-solid self-esteem. Emily, same way. Her dad's a terrific guy. They've been close their whole life. You know, he approves of me, which is a nice thing, too. And everything you just said absolutely applies to Emily. What really, really strikes me, though, David, is how this is yet another example of how important dads are. And guys, I know some of you listening aren't dads yet, and the last thing you're thinking about right now is children, but I want you to know something. Don't ever let yourself be marginalized by a feminist movement that says kids don't need a dad. My little girl will be a better woman because she has a dad who cared and who taught her exactly what a good example of masculinity should look like. And I'm not patting myself on the back.
No, amen, brother.
There's a lot of women out there who grew up with no example. The only thing they saw was a drunk or a guy who was abusive, and they go out and think that was normative, and they think that's what they should deserve someday. So there's logical basis for what you're talking about. And the other thing that I don't want to miss is that this is not gender specific in terms of your children, to you dads out there. My daughter is daddy's little girl, and you know, to listen to you talk about her having screaming orgasms and whatever is kind of unsettling, David. But you know what? I think if we face ourselves, we look ourselves in the mirror, we want our daughters to have great sex lives someday too. So I'm on board with that. But I want to talk about my son, because he literally is my shadow. He is watching everything I do. Literally, it was breathtaking. From about 2 months old, he was looking at me saying, okay, that's dad. Dad is the guy who I'm like. I'm a boy like dad. So whatever dad does is what I should be following. Now, he loves his mom and everything, but he knows dad is the guy who's the role model. And so he and I are playing basketball together. He's watching me work on motorcycles. Everything out his mouth is something that could have come out of my mouth when I was his age. He makes car noises and trucks and cars and motorcycles and motocross and, you know, monster trucks. The kid is a little boy at the core. And he needs a dad to show him the right way in life. Just like my little girl needs a man to show her what a man looks like. You just can't have mommy raising the kid and expect the kid to come out as well as that kid would have come out had he or she had both parents.
You're absolutely right that your son is looking to you. It's like this. Men learn to be men from their fathers. Pure and simple. Just like women learn to be women from their mothers. And you're absolutely right that the relationship between you and your daughter is critically important. And the reason why is because women learn to have a healthy emotional relationship with men through their father. Also, women grow up to expect to be treated the same way their father treated her. When your daughter grows up, she will marry a man who treats her very well, who believes in her, who treats her with respect, just like you did. She will marry a man who will treat her like you did. So the old adage is very true that women marry their fathers. And that's where that comes from. Now, you're absolutely right that men are critically important in a family. And there's a big movement to try and keep families together. And there's a very important reason for this, because families that stay together, the children grow up more emotionally healthy. Now, I have been told by a lot of people that it's not fair to look for a woman who is a daddy's girl. It's not fair. Well, I know it's not fair, but it's the truth. And you know what? It's not the woman's fault. We have men to blame.
Wow, fascinating. You know, I actually heard a POA on a David D interview or something saying the women you actually want to go look for are women who have terrible relationships with their dad, because they're the ones who are easier to get into bed And I was just shaking my head going, what?
Let me discuss that. All right, here's the reason why. Because women who had a terrible relationship with their father are women who have a low self-esteem. Women who have a low self-esteem want what they cannot have. Women with a low self-esteem always want people's approval. Women of low self-esteem are insecure. They're not completely secure in themselves. So all you have to do is simply play to their insecurities, make like you do not approve of them, and they will chase you.
And what are you being chased by? The wrong woman.
Exactly.
That's the part that just made me laugh.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you what. We have a great voicemail we haven't gotten to yet, and usually we get to the voicemails at the front end of the show, but I figured we'd mix it up a little bit today. So we do have a call. This is from Ben in Missouri, and this is something that I think applies a little bit to what we're talking about. So have a listen.
What's up, guys? This question is for the Chick Whisperer. I'm Ben from Sykeson, and my question is basically, I have a lot of girls that I could, I guess, friends with benefits, I guess you could call them, but I'm kind of getting tired of that and ready to move on to a relationship. And there's a lot of great girls that I'm dating currently, but I want to know how to make that transition from friends with benefits into a relationship. Like, how do I approach the girl with my intentions? And if we have, you know, been together physically, is there going to be any complications that come along with that? So thanks for your help, and look forward to hearing from you soon. And you may absolutely use this on the air. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, David, here we have Ben, who has some relationships, I guess more than one woman out there he's got a friends with benefit relationship with. So my definition of friends with benefits would be a woman who you're friendly with and who you're having an intimate sexual relationship with, but not someone you had at least previously thought of as quote-unquote long-term relationship material. Well, now he got a 2x4 upside the head or whatever. It sounds like it was of his own accord, which I guess is very different than being kind of cajoled into it by the woman, which often happens in friends with benefit situations. But now he wants to make one of the women he's seeing into his long-term girlfriend and wants to know how to go about it. And moreover, he's saying, is the fact that we've already had sex and kind of established the sexual relationship as, I guess, the centerpiece of this relationship going to have any ill effect should we come boyfriend, girlfriend later? I'd love to get your take on this, David.
All right, Scott, that's a pretty simple question. He needs to sit down with her and he needs to have the talk. He just needs to do that. But Ben is making a classic mistake that men look at what they are doing with a woman and based on that, they will make a decision if she's the right one to make the investment of a relationship with. What he needs to do is he needs to understand the things about her that are critically important. He needs to look at her qualities. Does she have the qualities that is going to make for a successful relationship? So, to answer his question, it's very easy. He needs to sit down and have the talk with her. And she can either take it or leave it. There is one concern that I have. If they are friends with benefits, he may not command the kind of respect that is required. But it's possible. The most important thing, though, is he needs to base his decision on her qualities as a person.
Yeah, Ben, I think that's a good word. My caveat would be if you had a friends with benefits relationship with her and didn't see her as relationship material up front, why would that change happen later? Not that it can't happen, but I would challenge you. Are you having thoughts about making her your girlfriend because the sex is so good, like David suggested, and because she's your favorite of the ones you have in your life right now, and you just kind of decided, I don't want to see the other one. She's the best one I've got, so I might as well just see her. Or is there a real basis for you having looked into this woman's character and seen the kind of woman you want to build a life with? Because we as guys, or you know, women, same thing. Nobody has any business going exclusive with anyone they don't see a long-term partnership with. It's not just a matter of convenience. It's not just a matter of, she's my favorite right now. If you're not with someone you can see yourself living with for the rest of your life, I don't see any positive reason why you should go monogamously exclusive with that person. And that may sound very upfront, but I think it's true. And I would also say that I agree with David. You have to talk. Don't beg. Don't grovel. Don't ask. Tell her what's on your mind. Say, look, we've been seeing each other for a while here. I think it's time to move this relationship to the next level. And lead. Don't ask. Tell her what's on your mind. You're not going to be able to force her into the relationship. But if she says, here is a man who wants to claim me in the best possible way, then she's going to be very amenable and she's going to be very turned on by that message. That's just how women are hardwired.
All right, let me say this, Scott. First of all, a lot of men will brag that they have a bunch of friends with benefits, but what may actually be happening is that there are various women that they are dating, some they may be sleeping with. And it may very well be that the woman that he's talking about doesn't know that she's a friends with benefit. She may see the situation as she is dating him and they have started sleeping together. And it may be that he is the only one that she is seeing. In that case, he still has a chance. Now, let's talk about how to actually go about doing it. It goes back to that women love to tame the beast. Women love to win over their man. A very good strategic way to go about this is to demonstrate to her that she is winning him over. What he can do is he can no longer go out with other women, and she will see this. He doesn't need to tell her directly, but she will see this, she will sense it. And women respect what they have to work for. If she has to work to get him all to herself, she will respect it more. And he can simply go about his life where she is the only one that he dates, that they end up seeing each other more and more frequently, that she will notice that she is winning him over, and let her be the one to say to him, hey, I want this to be exclusive. I want this to be monogamous. I want to turn this into a relationship. And then he can say, yes, I would like that.
Yeah, a lot has gone unsaid in that voicemail, as is always the case. We don't know the nature of the relationship they have, how long they've been dating, etc. So, Ben, take it all in context and pick and choose what applies to your situation. You guys who are listening, same goes to you. One thing you did say, Ben, that I want to make sure gets addressed is this whole idea of we've already been having sex. Does that affect how a relationship in the classic sense would go? I think if you've built the relationship on sex, you're looking at a red flag. But if you found that your friendship actually has sort of bubbled up from under the surface and risen above the sex, which is exactly what's making you want to become her boyfriend now, then I think you should be fine. And that's also very simplistic, but I think it's also very pragmatic.
Yeah, it is.
Ben, thank you very, very much for sending that voicemail to us. I think that's a question that a lot of guys wonder, at least at one point in their life. And what I want to do is I want to give you something from David Shade I have here in front of me that I think you're going to enjoy. And that is an audio program that actually has been rolled in as a bonus into the master plan. And it is called Women Are Highly Sexual Creatures. And this is a live and uncensored excerpt from one of David's live seminars. And it has never been released before. This is a world exclusive. So that's going to be coming your way, Ben, from your friend of mine, David Shade. Good stuff there. And I think this is a nice segue, David, for you letting the guys know a little bit more about your product, which I think is revolutionary. You know, I was talking to Sean Stevenson not too long ago, who I'm sure you know.
Yes.
And he was saying, you know, in his inimitable way, you know what, Scott, screw all this stuff. You should just become the dating coach who teaches guys how to find a wife. And I'm like, well, you know, that's one thing I've done. I think that's very important. But I do think there's a lot of guys out there who are at different stations and looking for different things. And it always, always, like we've talked about for the last 45 minutes, starts with finding a great woman. So I'm incredibly excited that you've done this whole program on how to select a woman wisely. And that's what it's called, Select Women Wisely. Tell us about it.
Exactly. This is the product that I've been working on for 17 years. It's actually the first product that I actually started doing research on and developing the material for. And it ended up in a product that is 4 hours of audio, 3 hours of video, and 125-page book, where I go into detail of why it is critically important to select women wisely, exactly the characteristics you look for, and exactly how to quickly and easily determine if she has those. In fact, it can be done in innocent conversation. She doesn't even know that it's happening. And you know, women test men all the time. Men can certainly test women. And it's very easy to do. It's just normal conversation, and nobody even knows what's happening. But you are understanding what her characteristics are. And I show you exactly how to do this with very specific examples. I also go into all the various caveats that are involved in all of them. And I'm really, really proud of this. As you know, my specialty is, what I'm most known for, is giving women wild screaming orgasms. But there are some women who are better raw material for that. There are some women who are going to be more responsive to you. There are some women who are going to have wild screaming orgasms, some who never will for a number of reasons, and I discuss all of that. So I show you exactly how to find those women who have those characteristics, who are going to make for a successful long-term relationship full of hot, passionate sex and lots of wild screaming orgasms.
Yeah, absolutely outstanding stuff. Guys, I actually have a hard copy of this program that David was kind enough to send me, and it is all that and more, and I think you'll be pleased with it. I've set up a special URL, as always, so that you can check it out firsthand. That is www.thechickwhisperer.com/shade, S-H-A-D-E, so absolutely go check it out. And guys, if you want to send us a voicemail and have it read on the show and get cool goodies like we just handed over to Ben from Missouri, just call this number, area code 210-362-4400. Once again, that's 1210-362-4400. Leave your voicemail, leave your email address, give us your name and where you're from and your question. If it is concise, to the point, and applies to a broad cross-section of listeners, may make it to the show. So we look forward to hearing from you. No one's ever going to answer that phone, by the way. It is purely a voicemail line. Also, guys, if you haven't gotten the free book on how to meet women on Twitter, absolutely get on my newsletter list so I can send you the newsletters that I pour my heart and soul into every week. That web address is www.twiduction.com, T-W-I-D-U-C-T-I-O-N.com. If you're on Twitter hanging out, say hello. I'm at Scott McKay, S-C-O-T-M-C-K-A-Y, and we'll have ourselves a big old time. Guys, before we sign off, I want to thank my friend David Shade one more time for being here. David, it's been a tremendous conversation. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Scott. It was an honor being on your podcast, and I appreciate it, sir.
Yep, you betcha, man. It was a great conversation. So, guys, this is Scott McKay from X and Y Communications. Go check out the new site at www.deservewhatyouwant.com. I busted my ass on it. It's good. This has been episode number 32 of The Chick Whisperer, and I will talk to you again real soon. Be good, gentlemen.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2009 by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the X and Y Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for The Chick Whisperer.